Our text for this evening will be the fourth verse of that beloved psalm. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The fourth verse is our text for tonight. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved of God, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Or to put it in the words of the image used in the psalm, there is not one of God's sheep who can sit in the pen all their life and merely watch as the shepherd leads all the other sheep on the trek through the path home. Wherever one is in his life, if he is a child of God, a Christian sheep, he is on the journey, led by the shepherd along the path with all the rest. Yea, though I walk. Not yea, though I watch the others walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is God's way for us, that we be on the path, on the journey, that we walk as He leads us. Israelite shepherds could not just keep their sheep in the pen. There was not enough grass in the Israelite landscape in order to sustain the life of sheep very long in one place. Israelite shepherds therefore had to take the sheep on journeys, long journeys, through the Israelite valleys and hills. The goal was always at the end of that journey to arrive back at the shepherd's house. But the journey had to be taken for sustenance, and every sheep must go on it. If you were a sheep of the shepherd, you had to go along. It was the journey itself that the shepherd used to sustain his sheep. It's what the shepherd used to teach his sheep. It's what bound the sheep to the shepherd. And so too, the journey with the shepherd of the Christian life, God's way as shepherd of His sheep, is to take us through, to make us walk, to trek on the Christian path all the way to His house. By the power of His sovereign Spirit, it's part of how He grows us, teaches us to depend upon Him, and firms up the bond between Himself and His sheep. Even when, no, especially when, the path of that journey is through the valley of the shadow of death. Along with the presence of the Word and Spirit, we learn deep things in this deep valley. We grow in great ways in this valley, are bound to the shepherd more than we were before in this valley. For God's people, there have been times like this in 2018. Guaranteed, His way is always through the valley to some degree or another, and likely they will be there again in 2019. But the child of God, understanding God's ways, accepts that, doesn't chafe under that. This is part of the shepherd of the sheep leading his flock along the good journey to his house. And as much as I might like to try to at times, I won't be able to sit out this coming year's shadows either. But that's okay, the child of God confesses, and we confess together this evening. The shepherd knows what he's doing as he leads us. He understands, and besides, the shepherd is with us as we go through it all, no matter what it is, how deep or how dark, and we have nothing to fear. No fear in the shadowed valley is the theme tonight. No fear in the shadowed valley. Let's notice first the confession, second, the reason, and third, the blessing. When the Israelite shepherds led their sheep, part of the path upon which they led them was a path of green pastures and quiet waters, a very pleasant and easy way. But it wasn't all green pastures and quiet waters. Part of the path was through deep, dark ravines, common in the landscape of the Judean wilderness. In fact, generally speaking, the only way to get from one green pasture with quiet waters to another green pasture with quiet waters was through these deep, dark rock valleys. Don't think of a valley with nice green hills on each side and green in the middle and a nice flowing stream through the middle. These are rock valleys, wadis, ravines in Judea that are carved into the landscape by torrential rains. The waters from those rains cannot sink into the ground because the soil is not so much soil, it's rock, clay, in these wilderness areas. And so when those torrential rains come pouring down, the water flows along the tops. And it cuts in deep ravines and valleys into these hillsides. Sometimes so deep, with such high cliffs on each side, that even if you're walking through in the heat of the day, it's completely dark. The cliffs shadow the sun so that it's dark upon your pathway. Sometimes these ravines are so narrow that you have to walk single file. The shepherd has to lead his sheep single file through these deep, dark ravines. It's a foreboding, heavy, humid, hot darkness through which an Israelite shepherd would lead his sheep. One man recently walked through one of those ravines in the Judean wilderness, said after only halfway through, he had used up his entire 2-liter bottle of water. So hot, humid, and dark. The psalmist uses these valleys, these deep ravines, as a picture of the very difficult and frightening and treacherous and heavy portions of the journey of this life through which the shepherd leads us, the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death does not refer to the precise moment of dying. Otherwise, it would be called the valley of death. But it's not called the valley of death. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. In the image of the text, death is the cliff walls, those high cliff walls. And death is what's casting the dark shadow upon that narrow pathway through the ravine. As in life, death casts its shadow upon all of our life, all of our ways, all of our path. As in Adam, all die, not just at the end of their life in that precise moment of death, but they live in a life that has death's shadow cast over it. Really, all the time, of course, every step we take is in one sense then under the shadow of death. But the text is obviously speaking of certain parts of that pathway where that shadow is cast upon us in a specially dark and heavy and palpable way. When physical death casts its dark rays upon our path in such a heavy moment. Car accidents. Accidents at work. That change everything about everything in just a moment's notice. Times of sickness or disease where death reaches back, casting its shadow upon our lives. The pain and difficulties of hurts in our body, or the pain and difficulty of watching a loved one with such hurts and difficulties in their body and sitting helplessly by, and you want to do something and fix it, but you can't do it. Trips to the hospital. Where, of course, you're thankful for the hospital and you're thankful for the doctors and the nurses, but where you walk through the hallways of those hospitals, and even though they're well lit, it feels like you're walking through that narrow, dark valley under the shadow of death. And that's to say nothing of the sometimes years, sometimes months, sometimes days, hours of the time before the moment of death, where physical death's shadow is cast so heavy upon us, and we feel the life of the body slowly, sometimes quickly, fading away. Two people die on this planet every second. And therefore, there are many right now across the world, perhaps some even in our congregation, who are walking through this difficult part of death's shadow cast upon our last days. And all of us, of course, will come into this part of the dark valley at times ourselves, for God takes all of us through the valley upon which death casts its shadow. Not only physical death, spiritual death casts its shadow upon us. And of course, again, just like physical death every day of our life, that's true from one point of view after our fall in Adam. We have spiritual death upon us, sin in us, and our old man wreaks its havoc upon us. It's a perennial part of our lives. But there are times here too where spiritual death casts its heavy, dark shadow upon our pathway in a unique and difficult way. Time of life, perhaps, where it seems the devil attacks in an unrelenting force again and again, and temptation and difficulty and struggle and hand-to-hand combat with the evil one in the darkness. And our way is narrow. We feel hemmed in and all sides, single file through here, and the only way out is up in prayer and crying out, "Oh God, be of help." Maybe we deal with a teenager in our family walking in a path of unrepentant sin for a time, and it seems like over our whole family life there's cast this heavy, dark shadow, spiritual dark shadow upon us. There's times of doubt and difficulty and even despair. We wonder what God's way is with us. Darkness upon us, a spiritual darkness. And these are all evils, beloved, evils. I shall fear no evil. They're evils. Evils still under God's sovereign control, of course, and for our good, of course, but in themselves, evils, effects of the fall. And astoundingly, the psalmist confesses that he fears none of it. Yea, though I walk, though my path be through the valley where death's shadow hangs heavy, heavy over it, I will not fear these evils. An astounding work of God's grace in him. Because you know as well as I, if there's any word that we would use to describe our view upon these times of our lives by nature, it is that word, fear. By nature, I am afraid of them, and when I think about them in the future, I'm afraid of them. We're sheep. There's a reason why God calls us sheep. Sheep are naturally fearful creatures. And we too, even the strongest amongst us, are naturally fearful creatures. There's a reason why the command that is repeated most often through Scriptures, Old Testament to New, beginning to end, is these two words, fear not, because by nature we fear. Even with a new man, the old man in us can be fearful sheep. And that fear, in its deepest sense, is terrorizing and tyrannizing. That fear, in its deepest sense, paralyzes a person, doesn't it? It's a dread that makes us hardly able to go on. If you keep the picture of the sheep upon the pathway in the back of your mind, this fear, this tyrannizing fear in its deepest sense is something that stops the sheep in its tracks. Too scared, shaking, unable to take the next step through that dark valley. And David says, I will not fear. I will not fear when the doctor's report comes in and the C word, it's the C word. When the phone call tells me something's happened to my child, oh God, may it not be. When things in the church are difficult, and how's it going to go in the future? I will not fear. And the psalmist's point, of course, beloved, is not that he somehow found a way to remove his old man from within him so that fear is no struggle for him anymore. But his confession is that though it's there and I fight against it every day of my life, it won't dominate me, it won't overcome me. The psalmist, in confessing I will not fear, isn't either living in denial about the valley of the shadow of death. Ignorant, naive, as though it won't be painful. He's fully aware of how difficult and painful it is. The psalmist isn't either confessing something out of a rock-hard stoicism, as though with a stiff upper lip he's just saying, well, it won't touch me. I'm not like you other people. Unbelievers sometimes can go through terrible circumstances with a certain kind of stoicism, where in their mind they just shut it off. I'll act like it's not there, live in denial about it. The psalmist isn't speaking that way. He's not either speaking out of a militant attitude of rebellion against God's way. I'll beat whatever you put in my path, God, and overcome it. I'll beat this cancer no matter what God says. And of course, it's fine and right to work to overcome the cancer, to go to the doctors, to take the medicines, but isn't there a line there? Or it becomes sometimes for people a militant, I'm going to deny God's power over my life and His right to give this to me, and I'll overcome Him by my power and not humbly bow and walk the path He decides to give to me, if that path is that I may be healed as I pursue that healing, or if it's not, even as I pursue that healing. Not any of that, but the psalmist's confession is that he walks through fully conscious, knowing and experiencing what he's walking through. And yet, he says, I can say, will not be dominated by fear. I will not be overcome, unable to worship my God anymore, unable to sing His praises from the heart, unable to confess His name, derailed into bitterness against Him and His way with me. Hard as it is, shell-shocked though I'll be for a time, no doubt, walking more slowly, cautiously, maybe even sitting down for a few moments, but I'll still go. I'll take the next step and walk and trust down the path that He has laid out for me. I will not fear. Now, how can the psalmist say such a thing? And how can you and I make that our confession tonight? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because I know, however dark that ravine gets, my shepherd is with me right there upon the path in this valley. Without the shepherd, the sheep would be paralyzed, stuck, wouldn't move, or if they could move, turn around and flee to their ruin without the shepherd's presence. They're ruined themselves or are destroyed by another. But with the shepherd's presence, every step through that dark valley, they are well, frightening though it is, with the promise that the shepherd gives in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The shepherd in Psalm 23, as the psalmist envisions himself walking through this dark valley, the shepherd is not way at the other end, calling out from a distance, go ahead, I'll see you on the other side. But he walks with his sheep as their shepherd, so that they are in constant communication, contact, fellowship with their shepherd as they go through, even in the midst of the darkness. He's with us for fellowship along the path. His presence known, His presence experienced, His ear attentive to the cry of the heart in prayer. And the shepherd with me, walking with me, is not cold and calloused as he walks with through the valley, but warm, fellowshipping with his sheep as they go through. Yes, there is pain, but he's there. And if you don't believe it, beloved, then look at the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God himself, as the shepherd of his sheep, came down into the darkness of the valley and walked it with us. God himself in human flesh, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, acquainted with death and all of its dark shadows that were cast upon him. He has walked through this valley. And when the child of God cries out to God, he says, I know, my child, I understand. I've walked this path. I've wept with those who wept at Lazarus' death. I know the pain of living under the shadow of that great enemy. I understand. But not only that, my sheep. Don't forget this. I took a path through that dark ravine. It was much darker, more treacherous than yours. Death reserved its deepest darkness for me, my life. I entered into every pain, every trouble, physical death in its shadows, and into the source of death itself. Not just the shadow of death, but the source of the shadow in my body and soul. I took it all upon myself, and your spiritual death too, bearing your guilt and the power of your sin upon myself, the curse upon Adam and upon you, for his sin and your own. And when you cry out to me, right there, by my Spirit and by my Word. And not only do I say I understand, I've walked that path with you. I'm a high priest who's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. But I say to you this too, I walked a path much darker so that you would never have to. So that your valley could be a valley only in the shadow lands, a faint shadow of what death itself once could have given you. And I'm in control of this pathway you're on and all of the darkness that's upon it. And it cannot and it will not destroy you. by word and spirit with you every second, right now with you. That's the fellowship we have with the shepherd as we walk in this valley. Where the shepherd takes out his staff and takes out his rod and says, "And I will ensure that you will get to the end. My house, as I walk with you through the darkness. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The same shepherd with us on the path carries a staff and carries a rod, beloved. The staff to guide, the rod to protect. The shepherd's staff was a long stick with a hooked end upon it. With it, as the shepherd watched the sheep, he would corral them and nudge them, keep them going in the right way, cause them to take the right next step. Psalm 91, verse 12, lest they dash their foot against a stone, lest the sheep get caught and break their leg in a rut. Lest the sheep walk headlong into the jaws of a lion. David killed a lion and he killed a bear. As a shepherd leading his sheep through these kinds of ravines and valleys, not only was it the path itself that was dangerous, but in this darkness and around these curves, of course, lions and bears, predators, knew. And walk in hiding, and jump out. And the shepherd with his staff guide his sheep, lead them, corral them to go the right way, lest they enter into the jaws of a waiting lion. For the shepherd knows the right step to take. The shepherd knows the exact path through that he has determined. He knows we need to go this way and not that way, and the sheep can trust the shepherd. The shepherd knows the end from the beginning. He has determined every step upon that path. And he has determined that he with me through this valley, it will be something that I go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not yea, though I stay in this valley of the shadow of death forever, but walk through it, does it leave me here in this valley? This valley is not the end. This is something that he takes me through to get to the other side, to the purpose of all, his own house. I trust he knows the way and will safely guide. It's his word and spirit, isn't it? His staff. The presence of his word and spirit. Not just some feeling that I have merely, that I feel like I'm supposed to go here, or I feel like I'm supposed to go there, but his word and spirit to lead and to guide. That says step here and don't step there. That says come back here when you have gone there. Under the preaching of that word especially, the shepherd is with me on the path, leading and guiding by his staff. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And at the same time, that same word and spirit is his rod, isn't it, to protect me? The shepherd's rod was a short stick for hitting, only about this long. It was something like the old billy club that policemen used to carry. It was for protection. When lions or bears jumped into the pathway and attacked the sheep, the shepherd would use it to beat the lion or the other threat to preserve the sheep who was in danger. And the shepherd who is with me upon this path carries that rod too. His word preached in the hands of the Holy Spirit beats back the animals of false doctrine that would attack my life, beats back the animal of despair that would pounce upon me and would overcome me and destroy me. My shepherd fights for me. And then I said unto you, fear not, Neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness. Directly, as it were, hand-to-hand combat. He is here. He is here. His presence in his sheep's life. Intimately involved with them upon the path by word and spirit, applying that word. This is why the psalmist can say, though I walk through the darkest shadow that death can cast upon my path, I will not fear. Thou art with me. Thou hast ensured that the pathway is not the pathway to hell. Do you see those blood-stained footprints going off into that even darker way? I walked that way, that you might never walk that way. And this way has only one end to my house. And I will take you there, I will. I carry my staff and my rod, and I know how to use it. Comforts me, says the psalmist. I'm secure, I'm safe. And David says, I can trust that when the next valley comes, in the next valley, he will be the same shepherd with me with his staff and rod there too. Look at the name he uses. And he speaks about his shepherd in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, the covenant name of God. It won't be the case, beloved, that God was with his people upon this path in the past, but not in the future. No longer. It won't be that after half the sheep come through the shadowed valley to the other side that he says, well, that's enough for me. The rest of you can stay behind and fend for yourselves. It wasn't until every last one of the 2 million Israelite men, women, children, strong, weak, young, old, were safely through the Red Sea that the waves came crashing down once again upon Pharaoh. All will come through, for he is Jehovah, the God of his covenant, who never fails to be for his people what he has ever been for his people, the changeless one who chose his sheep from all eternity, determined that they would end in his house forever in the fullness of his own triune life, and determined that the path that they must take will lead them there and only there. And he will therefore, as it were, by the hand, take them himself personally through each one to their heavenly home. And once you've been through a valley or two with him before, beloved, you trust that name, Jehovah, as your shepherd, don't you? Isn't that also part of the way David could confess what he confesses here? It wasn't his first time through a dark valley, was it? He'd been through a ravine or two with his shepherd before. Every year the Israelite shepherds had to take their sheep upon this journey over and over and over again. And having gone with him through a few valleys, coming out the other side, the sheep more and more trust and less does fear have a hold upon them. Ask the seasoned saint, beloved, who's been through many a dark valley before. They will tell you, he is what he says he is here. He is Jehovah, the God who keeps his promises. He's the faithful shepherd. You need not be afraid. He will keep. He will guide. He always has. He always will. In fact, those older saints might even say to you, though no sheep of the shepherd wishes it upon himself or wishes it upon his fellow sheep, we can all see that there are great blessings too in going through the valley with our shepherd. And there are, beloved, there are at least three of them here in the psalm tonight. blessings to being with the shepherd in the valley under the dark, heavy shadow of death. First is the intimacy with the shepherd in the valley. That is an intimacy that cannot be forged anywhere else. Did you happen to notice the change in address in our text from the verses before? In verses 1 through 3, the psalmist is speaking directly to his fellow sheep. My fellow sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. But now all of a sudden, when he gets to verse 4 and he starts to think and to speak about the dark, heavy, shadowed valley, there's a switch. And he begins to speak directly to God Himself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not now, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. As though the psalmist can't help it, and he can't, because that's what happens in the dark, shadowed valley. That's what happens for every true child of God. He can't help it. It happens. You're so aware of my shepherd with me. All my thoughts are directed to Him. My eyes are upon Him in that narrow way. He's right next to me, and I know it, and I need it. We speak with Him like we've never spoken with Him before, and more often than we've spoken to Him before. That's what happens in the valley. There was a Reformed minister from a century or two ago who had a terribly dreadful wife. She would not honor him and belittled him in his work as a minister and his preaching, berated him. Did it sometimes in public. Other people could see, other ministers could see when they gathered together, and sometimes other ministers would, of course, whisper to each other about it when it happened. Didn't go unnoticed by him. The ministers would whisper about it. And so he would say to them, "But does your wife lead you to get on your knees and to pray to God 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day to the Lord for strength to carry on?" My wife is a gift of God to me, and a blessing in abundance, for I walk with my Savior moment by moment. That's what happens in the valley. And if I was trying to stay in the stands before and just watch from the sidelines, I can't now, not in the valley, I'm in the thick of it, and I know it. Religion becomes personal, it becomes close, it becomes intimate in the valley. That's a blessing. The second blessing, beloved, is that the child of God sees, especially as he looks back, having been through a dark valley, that this is part of how God leads His sheep in the paths of righteousness. We may not totally separate verse 4 from verse 3. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though that path is in the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is part of the path of righteousness, and how true it is. For the goal of the shepherd in taking us through this valley is not just to get us to His house, but it's to grow us along the way to His house. And God's people grow. They grow in intimacy with God, and they grow in holiness of life in this valley. As they follow the shepherd close, step by step, every step of the way, they're so aware of the danger of not following Him in His way and His word. And by virtue of knowing His presence so intimately and the danger so intimately, they walk with Him more holily. That's a blessing. And third, the blessing of walking with the shepherd through these valleys is in the last phrase of verse 3. The path of righteousness for His name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley. For His name's sake. As I walk through this path, dark, troubled, yet with Him, and therefore free of paralyzing fear, so close with Him, so aware of His guidance and protection and nearness, so aware of His love for me and His growing me in holiness and maturity, in love for Him, I seek His glory more than anything else, even more than my own comfort and my own desire to not be in this valley anymore. For Thy name's sake, Lord, if it magnifies Thee as the great shepherd of the sheep, if it reveals a manifestation of Thy glory, if it shows Thy faithfulness to Thy people now as ever before, if it makes me more of a testament to Thy holy work in me, then I walk, and I'll walk through another one in the year that is to come, if that's Thy will, for Thy glory, Lord, my shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. Father, receive the worship of Thy saints. Even if the valley has been dark, with Thee, we shall not fear. To Thee be praise and glory. And in Thee all of our trust, for the next valley will be the same. For Thy name's sake, Father, in the name of Thy Son do we pray. Amen.